This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The Bush administration has ordered a new plan for a possible attack on Iran, and it's changed the justification for such an attack. This is what Seymour Hersh reports in his article Shifting Targets, the administration's plan for Iran, published in the current edition of The New Yorker. Hersh also writes that President Bush and members of his administration have redefined the war in Iraq as a strategic battle between the United States and Iran. Hersh has been writing in The New Yorker about a possible military strike against Iran since April of 2006. Seymour Hersh won a National Magazine Award for Public Interest in 2004 for his New Yorker pieces on intelligence and the Iraq War. He broke much of the Abu Ghraib story. He won a Pulitzer Prize for his 1969 reports on the My Lai massacre in Vietnam. Seymour Hersh, welcome back to Fresh Air. You say that this summer, Vice President Cheney asked the Joint Chiefs of Staff to redraw the longstanding plans for a possible attack on Iran. What is the new plan?
The new plan, very simply, is technically it's called counter-terror versus counter-proliferation. In the old days, that is before this summer, all of the planning that was done for hitting Iran, as you know, there was extensive planning that's been written about for years, was aimed at the nuclear entities of Iran as we knew them, the underground facilities, the facilities known to have been inspected, et cetera, they were all targeted, massive targeting. As somebody once said, 1,000 points of light, we were going to hit any nuclear-related area in the country, and that included not only in Tehran itself, but also three or four known places where they do enrichment, et cetera, and research. And the theory behind that hitting was, the public theory was, Iran's close to a nuclear bomb, and this is a threat that's not, that nobody in America would want, and this is an issue that, like in before the war in Iraq, the notion of a mushroom cloud, this is an issue that would really penetrate and resonate with the American people. Well, it didn't happen. The American people, according to what I've been told, the White House believes they've never really been able to sell the idea that Iran is an immediate nuclear threat. So what they've done in the last few months, and once I mention it, you'll know what I'm talking about, it's been a great deal of talk about the Iranians being responsible for our debacle in Iraq. It's Iranian and being involved in providing the equipment for the little bombs, the IEDs that blow up American soldiers, providing arms, other kinds of support, not only for the Shia in the southern part of Iraq, you know, Iran is also Shia, but also for the Sunnis, and also at various times the White House has even suggested the Iranians are supporting al-Qaeda, which is a very, you know, the Sunni terrorist group. So simply put, that argument is getting some traction with the American people, and also, more importantly, with some of our allies, particularly the Brits, the British. And so what they simply did is they've decided they're not going to hit everything big. They're going to keep an option for a surgical strike hitting only the what they call the terrorist training camps across the border in Iran that are training the Sunni insurgency, so the White House claims, and hitting the Revolutionary Guards who have been painted in very harsh terms by this White House as sort of a terror force. And they've actually trying to legally describe them as a terrorist group, have the State Department declare them as such. So we're going to change the targeting.
You said part of the reason for invading Iraq was to change the Middle East, bring democracy there, watch that spread. And you're saying now the Bush administration is acknowledging that Iran, or at least some members of the Bush administration, are acknowledging that Iran has emerged as the geopolitical winner of the war in Iraq. How? Is that part of the reason, do you think, for these plans to attack Iran?
Look, the best guess is one of the things they've come to terms with, by the way, that's really important is they now accept the intelligence that says that the Iranians are pretty far away from a bomb. The International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA in Vienna, headed by Mr. El-Baradei, has been saying that. They've been saying, yes, they're making progress, but they're nowhere near as far along as you Americans think. And now it's clear, at least the White House accepts now, by the White House I mean Cheney, Bush et al., the core there. They accept that there's no bomb coming in the next 2 years, although it's still arguable that Iran still may be a threat. I'm not suggesting they're not interested in a bomb, but they're nowhere near it. So they accept that. And so why are they pushing this? Well, the issue has been all along. That's been a really strong issue all along. Very early after the war began, in the June of 2003, the American intelligence community was trying to tell the White House that Iran is there big time. The position of the neoconservatives, et cetera, and the realists in the White House who advocated the war was that we're going to support the Shia, we're going to empower the Shia and diminish the power of the Sunnis. That's the game plan. And don't worry about the Shia and their longstanding relationship with Iran. After all, Iran and Iraq fought a war. The Shias in the South are going to be loyal to the state of Iraq. Well, from the very beginning, there were questions about the strong ties between the two that were dismissed out of hand by the White House. Well, now it turns out the Shias in the South want nothing to do with the Sunnis, are not very interested in the Kurds, and will very happily go off and be a nexus to Iran. Of course, Iraq's going to stay as an entity. And of course, there's going to be a lot of individualism. But there's just no question that the ties between the two, are Iran and Iraq, are the southern part of Iraq, where Basra is the headquarters of. The vast south is incredibly close to the Iranians.
What messages have you learned that the Bush administration has been sending to Iran behind the scenes?
That's a tough question because it constantly comes up. I constantly hear, and I was just having breakfast this morning with somebody, that there's a lot of contact between the two sides that we don't know. But the messages I really do hear explicitly are very tough. Bush really is very tough. He's sending messages. The message he gives the Iranians, shape up or, you know, we're going to kick your butt, basically. Shape up or we're coming after you. It's been very tough stuff. And, you know, we just had a negotiation with North Korea that was a successful negotiation on the nuclear issue there. And what did the Americans do? The United States position was very rational. We're going to talk to you about diplomatic recognition. We're going to talk to you about a security guarantee. We promise not to come and bomb you. And we give that to the North Koreans, and we got something for it. What do we offer the Iranians? 3 aircraft carriers in the Gulf. That's what we offer them. We don't talk to them. We don't make any positive suggestions to them. All we do is hector them. And the basic negotiating position we have on Iranians and, you know, nuclear enrichment, which has been going on for years that they're negotiating about, our position is you stop all enrichment, and then we'll have a conversation and talk to you about stopping it. That's our position.
What are your sources in the military and in the intelligence community telling you about a possible attack on Iran? And here's what I mean. Do your sources in the military think we have enough military to deal with it and with the aftermath of it? And do your intelligence sources tell you that we have enough intelligence to justify an attack?
Well, that's always a big issue. Right now, one of the things that the White House has done by proposing this new option, a surgical strike, and we should be clear that there's been no order to do a strike, and they could well do, you know, let's bomb everything to the smithereens and bring them back to the Stone Age. This is just an option. This option has a lot of traction, not only because it attracts some foreign leadership who are interested in it. It's more tolerable and more explicable. You can explain you're bombing the Iranians who are only killing Americans and British and other coalition forces. Inside the military, it's interesting because this is called a third way by some military people. That is, it's a choice between doing nothing and hitting everything. This is a more rational. You hit those camps that we believe are sending stuff south. And yes, there is more support in the military for this. It would involve some special forces on the ground, which is always tricky. It would involve incredibly good intelligence. There's new leadership in the military that people don't pay much attention to. There's a new chairman, Admiral Mullen. Peter Pace, about whom I've written before, is someone who really objected a year ago to any possible nuclear adjunct to any planning and really offered, he and other officers said they would resign quietly, just retire early. He's gone now. And all of a sudden, you have a new member, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, about whom the public doesn't know much, as I said, Admiral Mullen, who is out of the Navy, and all of a sudden the new proposal we have now includes a much bigger role for the Navy in any attack. This limited bombing would include Navy F-18s flying along with Navy cruise missiles, and that puts the Navy back where they haven't been. They're not a big player in this war, and it puts them back on the table.
Have your sources in the military and the intelligence community expressed concerns about unintended consequences if we do this surgical strike on Iran?
I would say express concern is very mild. They share the same trepidation that that many people outside the military share, which is this. The assumption is we're going to toggle some bombs. We're going to hit Iran with a limited hit The other side of it is we're going to ask our Western allies immediately, the Germans and the French, to immediately go to Iran and say, do not respond, do not respond. Let's negotiate. Let's get to the table on this. That is the plan. That's one aspect of it. And the assumption is that the Iranians will withhold and not attack. And in fact, the word you hear from most of the experts is that as the Iranians are planning an attack, they are going to attack what they call, in the technical term, is asymmetrically. They're not necessarily going to respond to the United States or to Israel. They're going to attack other targets, oil targets. One of the things they are very interested in doing would be to drive up the price of oil well over $100, and a few attacks on some of the Gulf oil countries that are vast producers, that are all of their facilities are in the open, would cause enormous damage. You could also blockade the shipping lanes. There's a shipping lane to the Far East, and there's a shipping lane through the Straits of Hormuz that are very, very narrow. The Iranians could certainly put mines there and curtail the flow of oil. And like Saddam Hussein, who had months and years to prepare for an attack, and they do too. And I'll tell you right now, the insurgency we see in Iraq that we saw right away was not spontaneous. It was planned. It was planned by Saddam, meant much of it. And I think the same thing would happen here. We've given the Iranians really a year and a half or 2 years of intense threatening. We've been threatening them constantly. We've given them a great deal of time to think of innovative ways to strike back.
I was reading about this new conservative group. I was reading about them in the New York Times. The group is called Freedom Watch. And apparently this month they're going to sponsor a private forum of experts on radical Islam. And they're expected to make the case that Iran poses a direct threat to the security of the United States. And the president of the group, Bradley Blakeman, said, if Hitler's warnings were heeded when he wrote Mein Kampf, he could have been stopped. Ahmadinejad is giving all the same kind of warning signs to us and the region. He wants the destruction of the U.S. and the destruction of Israel. So that's the head of this new group, Freedom Watch. He's not saying, so target Iran, but it seems to be what he's saying between the lines, that Ahmadinejad needs to be stopped. So are there other groups that are on board?
Well, sure. In the article, I quote Norman Podhoretz, the editor-at-large of Commentary magazine, who's been writing very vigorously about it, and saying we must attack him, basically, and praising Bush as a man who will do it. So you have a neocon input, at least from Norman Podhoretz. Not all the neocons agree on this. American Jewish groups, by and large, not all of them. There's some committees that are very much against it, some of the law. But in general, a lot of American Jewish groups are very hostile to Iran and very useful to this administration in that sense. You see that impact in the politics, the Democratic politics. Hillary Clinton has said a lot of very tough things about Iran and the bomb. They must not be allowed to have it. Even Obama has. And you're seeing a suggestion. Obviously, it's not a secret that American Jewish money provides an awful lot of Democratic campaign funds, and that's a clear connection there. So there's a lot of pressure points outside of the White House that are advocating action against Iran. And again, the fact that the intelligence is much less clear than most people know, and the fact that the consequences from a bombing, I've had people tell me that one reason Cheney, who's I think shares the view that Iran must be stopped at any cost, one reason that Cheney is interested, I've been told this, I didn't write this in the story, is that he understands that once you start a bombing, why would Cheney support something less than he initially wanted, which is a large-scale bombing? Once you start bombing, it's very easy to escalate. The other side does something, you do something. The attack we have planned right now, the surgical strike, includes striking facilities, command and control facilities of the Revolutionary Guard inside Tehran, which means you're going to have to do very precise bombing. And I had a European official say to me, of course, we'll probably end up hitting a hospital or a school because bombs never go where they're aimed. That's one other issue, you know, that would harden the side of the Iranians and want them to do more. And then the other issue is we are going to send boys on the ground. Most of it will be done in air. We're going to spend special forces. Our special force units will go in. And the other thing you have to do is any air attack, even if it's a limited one by the Navy fighters, the Iranians have tremendous air defense batteries of missiles along the shore, along the Gulf, and they're dug in. And it's not clear you can take those out by air. And so you might have to send a marine detachment, an expeditionary unit, 1,000 or so, maybe perhaps less, might have to send the Marines in on the ground to blow up some of these facilities before they can be used to bring down aircraft. And suppose some Marines get trapped on the ground in ground combat. And suppose they get taken hostage. What is the next step? And all of these things are driving a lot of my friends crazy, literally on the inside, because as usual, the White House only wants to see the picture it wants to see, which is we can go in and do this. And why are people talking to me? They're talking to me because they don't want this to happen.
If Iran does pose a threat, if Iran poses a threat in Iraq or poses a larger terrorist threat, do you think there are other ways of dealing with Iran?
In the talks, that there have been at least three meetings between our ambassador in Baghdad and the Iranians. There's been a series of meetings. In all of those meetings, the Iranians say the same message, I am told. I didn't write this. It just wasn't that relevant to the story. They say, one, they never say to the United States, get your troops out. What they say is, we can help you. We can help you in the south. There's no advantage in Iran to have the chaos they have in Iraq. Syria is another country. Syria right now has anywhere from 1.6 to 2 million refugees in its borders from Iran. And they've come across. Syria has a population of 17 million. It's led by a minority Alawite country. Here they have 2 million Sunnis, mostly Sunnis and some Christians, living there now. With no source of income, et cetera, et cetera. I hear horrific stories about the troubles they're having just staying alive. And it's very hard on Syria. Why wouldn't Syria want to do what it could to join in an international peacekeeping operation with the Iranians, with whom Syria has a longstanding relationship, particularly now in terms of antipathy to the United States? Why wouldn't they want to join in with the other countries? Jordan right now has 800,000 refugees. There are refugees all over. It's like another Palestinian crisis. Why wouldn't they want an international conference to do something to put pressure on the parties inside to resolve their crisis? This is so much more of an efficient way to do it. We're not going to be able to do it by force. And frankly, I'll tell you, I now believe that the 200-octane fuel that keeps the insurgency going to a large degree is us. It's harder to make this clear now. 2 years ago, before the sectarian violence, Sunni-Shia violence was so great, I could argue easily the faster we get out, the more quickly the various factions will get together. There's a lot of oil there that everybody can share. There's tons of money there and potentially in the underground reservoirs. You've got, you know, billions, if not, or hundreds of millions of untapped oil. But that's not happening. Can anybody say to me that in 3 months or 6 months or 9 months or 1 year or 2 years or 3 years, it's going to get better with us there? And so what I say, I have said it, I have to maybe rethink it now as things get so bad, but I've been saying there's basically only two options to end the war. One, option A, get everybody out by midnight tonight. And option B, get us out by midnight tomorrow. And forget about bringing in the UN peacekeepers. Anybody that comes in, whether they're Muslim or not, is going to be an occupier. They've had it with occupiers. Let them get together and see if in the tribal system, which still is very strong, they can work out some agreement. If we did that, I assure you, the Iranians and the Syrians and the Jordanians and the Kuwaitis would do all they could to try and stabilize the situation, write off debt, lend money. Nobody needs an Iraq that's exploding.
Do you have any sense of what the odds are that the Bush administration would decide to attack Iran?
It's very clear I don't know. The president has not signed an execute order, which he has to do. It's much easier for him now to do this kind of bombing because you don't have, if you're going to do limited bombing without major Air Force participation, the Air Force is some great big combine. They have to move pilots and the big bombers and all the equipment to various staging bases, and it takes weeks and months, and the buildup would be seen by all. The plan now is very quick. The Navy is right now flying combat missions every day into Iraq. They can simply do a sharp turn and go over Iran. Cruise missiles can be reprogrammed. They already have been. And so it's much easier to do it. And the answer is, I'd be crazy to say I know. I choose to write this story. I have a panoply of things that I can write about. You know, there's so many other issues now with this war. But I choose to focus on this because I think whatever the odds are, the consequences of an attack on Iran are so horrific in terms of bringing us into Brzezinski was saying to me, Zbigniew Brzezinski, the former Carter's former national security advisor, we're looking, if we hit Iran, we're looking at a 20-year war, The Iranians will do something. Iran has two border countries that are pretty much in which America has a great deal of influence, Iraq and Afghanistan. They will do something in both those countries. Anything they do in Afghanistan will bring in Pakistan into it. I mean, you're looking at just a wildfire of stuff. And if you get Hezbollah going, if you toggle Hezbollah, that, you know, that one-time great terrorist group from off, which it is now, to on, you could have some really serious stuff going on. You know, not only attacks on in the Middle East, but around the world. I can't understand why a president wouldn't do anything, including summit meetings in Tehran or some neutral ground, to avoid this. But there's no evidence he's going to talk to those people.
Well, Seymour Hersh, thank you so much for coming on our show. Thank you.
Always fun, Terry.
Seymour Hersh's article on Iran is in the current edition of The New Yorker.